You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
I really count it a privilege and a joy to be able to share with this amazing family. Thank you, Pastor Bert, for the privilege, and Richard and Tristan for opening up your little space here for me. And I'm opening up our new series, When We Pray, Prayers That Move God and Change Us. Someone said that prayer moves the hand that moves the world. Isn't that cool? And prayer is an idling dynamo. It's kind of like that generator that's always like that. You know, it's got lots of power, and I just got to hook up to it. And that power comes into me. Amen? Come on, Howard. Is that right? Yeah. Well, this morning, the prayer that I'm going to be sharing about is found in Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. And we're just going to read this passage. And it's the believer's prayer for boldness. But I'm calling this, and this is the title of our time, Prayer for Courage, Pray for a Strong Heart. Prayer for courage, pray for a strong heart. Look at the person next to you and say, God's going to give you a strong heart. Okay, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of your father David, your servant, and by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. Get that, all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal, signs and wonders to perform through the name of your servant Jesus. I love this. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. Just imagine that. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Prayer for courage. Let's pray for a heart of courage. I just want to pray real quick. Father, I just want you to put your hand on your heart this morning. Father, we need courage. We need a strong heart. And so that's what we ask for today. Would you bless our time together? I just pray that you would guide me as I share your word in Jesus' name. Bless my people. Bless your people. Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, a lot had taken place after Jesus' death and resurrection. And, you know, he gathered all his disciples at a mountain, gave them the great commission to go into every nation and preach the gospel. And then he said, you got to wait in Jerusalem because something special, you got a surprise gift for you. I got a surprise gift for you. And that was the Holy Spirit. And it was beautiful. And when the Holy Spirit came, I mean, wow, power came. And they began to preach the word publicly in the streets. I mean, all over Jerusalem, there were these people that were visiting, and they started sharing the gospel and all around until 3,000 people came to Christ. Imagine that. Wouldn't you love to see that happen from our church, you know? This room shaking, the Holy Spirit comes on us, we go out in the street, and 3,000 people in Toronto get saved, and they join our church. Yeah! Oh, good problem. Who is that? Was that you, Tristan? Yeah, we not enough space right now, and we want to see that. We've got a vision for, what, Vision 500, to see 500 people come here. But it's going to take courage. Now, not long after that amazing move, Peter and John, who were Jesus' favorite disciples, were on their way to the temple to worship. And as they were going, they met this guy who was lame. He had been there sitting at the temple. It brings back memories to me. Many of the Filipinos here remember a church in the Philippines called Quiapo Church. And there would be a lot of lame people there and healers and everything. But it was kind of like that. this guy was lame for 40 years. So they said, you know, we don't have money, but we got one thing we can give you. We've received this beautiful gift in an upper room, so we want to share that with you. So in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. What happened? He went jumping and leaping and praising God. And so these mighty things happened in his life. Now, everyone was super surprised, amazingly, awesomely amazed, and immensely impressed with what happened. But word got back to the Jewish leaders. And so they were not happy. They were doubly disturbed and spitting mad. Because, not because of this healing, right? Not because of the healing, but why? Because they were preaching the resurrection and they were preaching the name of Jesus. They did this healing in the name of Jesus. That was the only reason. Can you imagine their blindness? You know, their blindness to the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus? I mean, these were supposedly godly men and women. They said, you know, you can heal whoever you want. You can preach whatever you want, but don't you dare use the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Wow, that was it. So now, on the side. In the meantime, the church is praying, right? Church has been praying since the upper room all this time. But this time, their prayer was very significant, and it was different because now they faced opposition. They hadn't faced real opposition till this time. And it says in Acts chapter 4, 23 and 24, when Peter and John were released, they went to their friends, the disciples, the believers in the church, and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God. What did they do? What was the first thing they did after this bad report? What is the first thing we do when we get a bad report? When we read the news, when we turn on the TV, when we go on social media? The very first thing they did was pray. And that's a reminder to all of us. Often for me, and this I'm preaching to myself this morning. Often to me, the first thing I do is worry, fret, gossip. I start pouting. I start whining. You know how that is? Instead, these people, the first thing they did was pray. And they prayed for courage. And we know God answered, right? Why? Because the room shake, rattled, and rolled. You know, the room was, something was happening there. The Holy Spirit came on them. They spoke the word with boldness. Signs and wonders, healings and miracles. And an interesting thing that took place among them was they started actually sacrificially giving. People were selling land and giving the money to the disciples in the church. And they started living in common. So there was a lot of stuff. God answered their prayer for the Holy Spirit, for Holy Spirit empowered courage to share his love, life, and word to the nation. I'm going to say that one more time. God answered their prayer for Holy Spirit empowered courage to share his love, life, and word to the nations. I'm kind of go on a sidetrack here, but not really a sidetrack. But for me, it's a special day. And I'm going to tell you a story of courage, okay? In 1991, I asked a young lady from Alberta to join in on a life of mission that would take us from her dad's farm to New Zealand, to the Philippines, to other parts of Asia, to the U.S., where Pastor Bert hired me. And finally, go ahead and... Okay, that's us. Let me just make this official. We made it official just about this day. This was our honeymoon, during our honeymoon. And today is our 34th anniversary. So I asked Jan, and actually we had a great time in Banff and Lake Louise and the Chateau, beautiful. But I made it official, and I just want to tell you, marrying me and doing all of that she did in these 34 years took a lot of courage. And yeah, we ended up in the Philippines, and this is who we ended up with, our four kids, and over the years, and I don't know if you could, my one boy Luke and my girl Kelsey are the two in the back, and this is us in the Philippines on this mission. Jan faced life-threatening situations, everything from a gun-wielding neighbor who threatened our lives to she was home alone one time and a bunch of bandits broke in and stole things from the complex. And these were in different countries. So I'm not necessarily speaking about one country. We've lived in several countries. To a major heart attack last year in Chicago. But let me add this. And 10 years of driving in Manila. Okay, now that gives you perspective what she's been through. Okay? She actually drove around Manila, not just riding the jeepneys and the tricycles. She faced many difficult and challenging cross-cultural ministry situations, life transitions. She visited and cared for patients as a home health care nurse in remote and unsafe places. One time she drove 150 kilometers in one day in the southern U.S. just to take care of patients. And she dealt with patients in a mental health care hospital for several years. In the last 3 years in South Africa, she pioneered what she's called the mobile wellness centers in southern Africa. She provides health care, prayer to hundreds of people in townships and squatter villages, and she's trained up several community health workers that work with her today. Healing and salvation have come as a result, and it's amazing. And all of that while being a mom, a grandma, a mom-in-law, and keeping a tidy, efficient, and happy home. I just want to honor my hero right there. Yeah. But I know she couldn't have done this without God's courage in her life and prioritizing prayer in all of this. So, we're talking about courage, right? What is courage? What is courage? Courage comes from the Latin cor, or heart, okay? And it's strength of heart. How many of us have ever felt like we are losing heart? Like when you stand on top of a building and your legs are kind of shakety and you feel like everything's just gone and you need a strength of heart. How many of you have ever felt that? We often have felt that. And how many of us would like to have strength of heart all the time? Well, for some reason, it tends to leak out of us, doesn't it? That strength tends to leak out of us. And we need courage. We need courage. Another word that is used in the Bible is the word boldness. I'm going to go ahead and it's to take risks and act innovatively, confidence or courage. And I love it. There's another word I love. I love this word, audacity. That word audacity has to do with courage. And it's a willingness to take or bold or courageous risks. And it's just like our goal in every nation is to plant Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. Now that's an audacious goal. It's going to take an audacious people, a fearless people, a brave people, a gallant people, a people with prowess, a people with heroism, a people with nerve. Let me describe the opposite. Okay, here's the opposite of that. What's the opposite of courage? Cowardice, fearfulness, timidity, spinelessness, faint-heartedness, feebleness, and timorousness. I don't think Tim Morrisness is eating too many Tims in a day, right? No. It's cowardice, fearfulness. It's the opposite. It's not courage. But that's why we want to talk about courage today, because we need courage. We want courage. So let's talk about the significance of courage. And there were four that were we could see in Acts chapter 4 and 5. We need courage for one. We need courage for sharing God's love. It's going to take courage to share God's love. It's interesting that right after this passage, Luke writes that the early churches made sacrifices to build community. Barnabas, one of the disciples named Barnabas, he sold his land and gave it all to help the church and the poor. They gave generously and sacrificially. It's going to take courage to love those around us, especially those that we don't understand culturally, linguistically, traditionally, or otherwise. You know, the early church had their own problems with this. They had problems between the Gentile widows and the Jewish widows. The Jewish widows were being prioritized in the feeding and the care. And so they even had to figure out this thing. How do we love people that are linguistically, culturally, and socially, economically, and traditionally different from me? Think about this for your own life. How am I loving others this way? And when we were in South Africa, when we first went to South Africa, one of the first jobs that we took on, and we didn't know anything about it, but we went to the church, and the pastor there said, okay, Jan, this is your first job. And all these guys came off the street. They just came off the street, and they had chairs for them, and there was a feeding program, and they were from all parts of Africa. They were from the street. They had been there. They were unclean. Everything. I mean, they spoke different languages. You know, by the time we were done, some of the best friends, and salvation came, healing. We just saw some amazing stuff. But at first, it was like, wow, what do we do with this? There was a little bit intimidation. We weren't very sure. There were some drug addicts among them. There were some people who had been on the street for a long time. It's going to take courage for all of us. The important thing to ask ourselves is, how do I share God's love now? Especially with those who are different from me culturally, linguistically, traditionally, and even economically. Okay. Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
All right. It's going to take courage. The second thing is to speak God's word. How often do we have opportunities that come up to speak God's truth? And the thing is, I was talking to Jan. She said, you know, it's really like sharing the truth when you're asked, why are you so different? The other day we just moved into a townhouse in Kitchener, and this guy came in to fix our toilet. You know, you need toilets. So he came in there, and I started talking to him, and we just had a great conversation. I mean, this guy was really open, and I was talking to him. He said he started asking these questions, like, about the afterlife. Can you imagine that? Someone asking a Christian about the afterlife? And so he started talking about this and said, yeah, my friend just went through some kind of assisted death thing, and, you know, I don't know, you know, what do I do with this? And then he says, what do you think? What do you think? What a great opportunity. Got to share the Lord with him, and I did get his number, so we'll have more conversations there. So God's going to open those doors, but they don't always come that easy, do they? In our day-to-day kind of, you know, I don't know if I can, you know, I don't know if I can stand to be in the same room as that person. Or that person really intimidates me. Well, that's when I need courage. I often feel the same thing when I sit in an airplane and I don't know who's sitting next to me, you know. I remember one time traveling, and this guy sat next to me, and he had the full-on garb, and he had come from another country that it was like, okay. And then he had talked to him and said, yeah, I'm a priest from this religion. Talking to him, it was quite intimidating at first. But then as I got to know him, I said, have you ever met a Christian before? And he said, no, I never have. Well, I'm a Christian. We just started talking, and he was so open that, I mean, I was the first Christian that he had ever met on this airplane. And it was amazing. But God will bring those times, but it took a little bit of, you know, there's a little bit, you know, that tends to leak, that heart of courage tends to leak, you know. And then signs and wonders. We want to see signs and wonders. I want to see signs and wonders. But it's not always just healings and, you know, arms and legs going back and eyes popping back into people's faces. But you know what? It's actually just learning to pray for people, no matter what. It's going to take risks. We can pray for other people. That coworker that's struggling, can I pray for you? I was walking around the... Sorry, I hope you're okay with all these testimonies, but I was walking around the University of... That's where we're living. The University of Waterloo campus, and I was walking along with my dog, and this guy was walking along here, and hey, you know, I struck up a conversation, started talking, find out his name is so-and-so, and then he just started sharing his heart. And he started saying, yeah, I'm really struggling. I'm working on my PhD. And I said, yeah, I'm trying to do that too, something like that. And I'm struggling through the same stuff, you know. And so we had something to relate. And so we started talking, and I, as we were talking, he's like, yeah, I don't know. I shared that I was a Christian, I love Jesus. And he said, yeah, I have a friend like that. And eventually, at the end of our time, he was just very open to hearing. And I said, can I pray for you? Now, this guy's from a totally different religion. Totally, I mean, he could, he was smart, you know, compared to me. And he could, debate circles around me. But all I said was, can I pray for you? And I did. And you know, he texted me later and said, John, thank you so much for that prayer. And I want to get together. He wants to get together with me. And he wants to talk a little more about this stuff. So, you know, we've seen many prayers answered. We've prayed for lots of people through the years. But it's not always that I'm the bravest guy in the world. I can do this, you know, gritting like cheese, you know. You know how you sometimes you have to feel like you got to grit your teeth to do something? Well, no, I've gone in just shaking sometimes. And I said, Lord, just help me. Help me to pray. I don't have the answers. I really am not the man right now. You know, you ever feel that way? You ever feel like, I'm just not good enough right now? You know, I messed up this whole week. You know, I shouted at this and I... Through that, I asked forgiveness after that, yeah, but I still feel rotten, you know. And then God calls you to go pray for someone. It's like, you know, not me, I can't do this. But you know what? He fills us. He fills us. And that's what we're going to talk about. Well, the last thing I want to talk about is that there are spiritual battles that you're going to face. It's all spiritual battles. You know, spiritual warfare is not so much a prayer prayed, but it's a life lived. And that's what God wants us to live. I'm going to try to get through this real quick. There are sources. We don't have to reach into ourselves. You know, this whole thing of reaching into yourself to get, you know, to get yourself, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. I've tried. Every so often, it squeaks me up just a little bit, but usually it gets me more scared, you know? And I need greater sources than me. And here's some of the sources of strength, and that's what the scripture is talking about here. First of all, our social network. Our social network. You know, after Peter and John were threatened, what did they do? They ran to the church. They ran to their brothers and sisters. They went and reported. They got together and prayed. I remember one of our brothers in a restricted access nation, good friend of ours, and if I told you his name, you'd know who he was. He was facing death with his family in his country, and we were praying and asking the Lord. You know, he went before the judge, and miraculously, the judge released him. The police wanted to kill him. We took him out of the country. We brought him all the way to this country, then to that country. And finally, he came to where Pastor Bert, to Nashville. And Pastor Steve said, could you take care of him? So he was with us. You know, the whole time, he knew he had a family he could run to. We prayed for him. And you know, today, that brother, I've traveled with him to Turkey and other parts. And he's planting churches, making disciples. And all because today, his family prayed for him. His family took care of him. Your social network, what is that? We need to stay close. The sovereignty of God. They knew who really was the boss, right? It's so important for all of us to remember who the boss is. Who's really in charge here? You know, with my family, it's like the kids come to me, you know, and I kind of do this, but I'll say, why don't you ask your mom? Because we know who really knows what's happening. Well, I know who, Father knows best, right? The Father knows best. Sovereignty of God. I was speaking with another family from a restricted access nation. They told me, John, the police is closing all our churches down in this country. And I said, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, wow, that's the end of the church there, our Every Nation church there. But he said, no, but it's a good thing, John. You know why? Because the church is splitting up now. So we got churches all over the city. We got more churches growing here and there because we had to split up. And I looked and I thought, man, that is the sovereignty of God. God is in control. God is in control. The other thing is we need to lean on the scripture and on the prophetic words that God has spoken to us. That's what the early church did, didn't they? They leaned on God's word and the prophetic words that were being spoken into their lives. I just wanted to read a very encouraging script, Joshua 1:9. Haven't I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. God's got your back. Over 70 times in the Bible, there's fear not verses. And you know, sometimes when I'm fearful, when I'm afraid, when I'm wondering, how can I ever get this done? When will this ever end? I've had to cry to God and say, Lord, I know that you've said to me, do not be dismayed, don't be afraid, because I know you got my back, you know? And I also have had to cry to him, do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The last thing is the Spirit of God. The room where they were was shaken. The Holy Spirit came on them with boldness. And Jesus promised that gift of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and he called him the Comforter. You ever feel like you need some comfort in your life? I felt that. I felt like I needed just a hug of assurance or a calming voice. And that's the Holy Spirit. Okay. I'm just going to finish here. So how do we keep a healthy heart? How does how does a person maintain a strong heart so that he is encouraged? First of all, you got to lower your stress levels. I've gotten stressed out so often. How many of us get stressed in our work and family life and stuff? You know, some of you are so cool and calm and collective. I know I could see some of you are like, yeah, I got this. Don't worry. But you know, I need prayer, meditation, and slowing down. You know, this prayer is amazing. I love this prayer. I kind of paraphrase it this way, okay? And you can paraphrase it the way you want. God, you're the ultimate source of everything. You're the ultimate boss of all bosses. You've created everything and everyone. You have final say. Your word says that God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. God, you see what I'm going through right now. The voices I'm hearing, the lies I'm being told, they're all causing me to lose heart, and I want to give up. So Since you are in control and know it all, everything going on in my situation, I ask for a spirit of courage, an opportunity to show others who you are because of that courage. Fill me to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Give me a strong heart to be a blessing and speak your truth into others' lives and to finish the work you've called me to do. And please, God, continue to do whatever you need to do to show who you are to those around me. And I want to join you in seeing this happen today. And that's the prayer that they prayed, basically, the early disciples. Meditation. Sometimes I need to calm down and just get under control. I, you know, during this time of moving, there's been some stresses. And every so often, Jan's, I've had to lay back and get myself under control. And Jan's actually come, and she's taken, there's a thing called a pause app. If you ever, a guy named John Aldridge put a thing called a pause app together. And basically it's a very quiet music, and then he just speaks. He speaks God's word into your heart. And she came one day, and she just put it on my chest. It's like, oh man, I gotta pause. You know, I gotta pause. And so every so often, Jan and I listen to the pause app by John Eldridge. And it's amazing. John Eldridge, his name is. Yeah. And sometimes we need to just slow down, right? You know, Mary Magdalene, when she went to the tomb, she wasn't running around like Peter and John. She wasn't running back and forth. She actually, it says in the Bible that she, in Matthew 28, that she stood. She looked for Jesus boldly by standing, by waiting. And that's what we need to do. Next thing is we need to keep out the junk and take in what is healthy and nutritious. And I think that's easy to explain. What are we feeding our soul? Sometimes we need to turn off our screens. And we need to remember his word to us and the church. I just want to read one, a senior leader and a prophet and a good friend of mine from South Africa. He knew what we are going through, all our changes, and he wrote this to me. It was so encouraging. Good morning, mighty man. I just had a sense in my heart that God wants to remind you today that you are standing firmly in his calling for you. Even though situations have changed, God has brought you exactly where he wants you to do his will. You are called and empowered and graced for everyone and everything you will encounter in this new season. Love you lots, my friend. How would you like to receive that from so far away? I just love it when I get good news from a faraway land. We need that. We need to stand on that. That gives us courage. That puts air back in our hearts, you know. We've been sleeping on this air mattress that every so often needs a little pumping, you know, because we end up on the floor by the morning, you know. So I'm over there, yeah, get that. And it puts courage back in our hearts. And the last thing, don't do this alone. We need community, right? We need each other. And there's an old song that goes, we need each other. Cannot make it on our own. We need each other. We're not meant to live alone. We need to love one another as a father loves a son. We need each other. Oh, Father, make us one. No. Thank you. And then we need God's presence, right? We need to stay in God. If Jesus needed to stay in God's presence, so do we. And I'm just going to end with this last quote from Matthew Henry. And I want us all to stand, actually, and read this together. Thanks, Dave and Katie. Let's just read this together. In threatening times, our care should not be so much that troubles may be prevented, as that they may go on with cheerfulness and courage in our work and duty. They, the early church, do not pray, Lord, let us go away from our work now that it has become dangerous. But Lord, give us thy grace to go on steadfastly in our work and not to fear the face of man. Those who desire divine aid and encouragement may depend upon having them, and they ought to go forth and go on in the strength of the Lord. I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads. I just want to pray for those especially who right now just need a fresh infilling of courage. A fresh heart of courage. You're facing things that it's just like, man, when is this going to end? Or how can I ever get through this? Or how can I ever handle this? This thing is just too much for me. I'm going to ask Pastor Bert to come and I want to ask him to pray over you this morning. And I want you to, if you're going through that right now, just lift your hand. Just lift your hand to the Lord. And we're going to pray a prayer of courage into you this morning. If you need us right now, just lift your hands to the Lord and maybe put your hand on your heart. He is a sovereign God. He's got enough for you. He is enough. He is all sufficient. He's all you need right now. It's not just a cliche, but this is reality. He is all that you need. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Present yourself here, Father. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. Come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come, refresh us, Lord. Come, renew us. Come, envelop us, Father God, with that encouragement that we need. Come, Father God, just fill us, Lord. Father, we've leaked to that courage. Our hearts, Father God, are torn. Our hearts are timid and scared. And Father, we need you, Father. We need you today, Father. Father, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, I want you to agree with me. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would fill us all with a heart of courage. Fill us afresh, Lord, with the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that keeps us strong, that keeps us encouraged, that keeps us moving forward, that keeps us blessed, that keeps us looking to you, Father God, as a source, the beginner and the ender of our faith, Lord. God, we trust in you this morning. We need you, Father. Father, we need you, Lord. We depend on you, Lord. We can do nothing without you, Father God. Oh, Father, come. Come, come. Fill us afresh and fill us anew with a heart of courage, a heart of strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.